in the town of Clinton as well.
And our guest today is actually another Clinton town councilwoman.
Hi, this is Megan Johnson.
And you're here because we're going to talk about the opioid issue. Obviously, Hunterdon County has experience, but, you know, nationwide, statewide, we're seeing a lot. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your new job?
Sure. I am the new executive director for Hunterdon Drug Awareness Program, located here in Flemington. It's a small nonprofit. We run an intensive outpatient and outpatient program for those struggling with substance abuse, as well as prevention services for adolescents. We run programs within some of the schools in Hunterdon County, and really working to outreach more into the county and let people know that we're here and we're here to help.
Great. And we appreciate you being here today, you know, to talk about something that has, I think we've all probably known or dealt with something. I know my first month as mayor, my first year as mayor, there were quite a few within our community that we lost because of drugs. And we continue to lose many more young people and older people because of the opioid addiction and the issues that we're experiencing there. So, you know, one of the things that Riley and I have been trying to do with this program is to break down and make it easy for people to understand what's going on, what they can do, you know, what kind of questions to ask, what to look for. So, you know, give us some insight.
Sure. So what's interesting about Hunterdon County is that it's listed in the state as one of the lower counties for overdoses. But in reality, we have more overdoses per capita than most counties, and I don't think that really gets taken into account. A lot of the state funding doesn't go towards Hunterdon County to fight the epidemic, so it's really grassroots or coalitions coming together in order to make things more aware. There are some proposed grants that we're working towards to get some more services out into the county, which includes case management, which is really getting out into the community on the ground and reaching out to people.
Mm-hmm.
There still is a huge stigma with substance abuse, and here in Hunterdon County, I think that's one of the biggest barriers as to getting people help and getting resources for them.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point. So if we talk about, so I always seem to be the foil to these kinds of conversations where I bring up the elephant in the room. If we talk about who are the people out there in the world who become addicted to opioids, and how are they becoming addicted to opioids, and where is it stemming from? So this is an epidemic, right? I know we all sort of try to dance around conversations and words and the way in which we talk about things, but I think it's become clear over the past, I don't know how long you're the expert, but I would say the past 5 to 10 years that this is an epidemic in our country, certainly within New Jersey, but obviously, I think within certain states, it's worse than others. And you can skew data to look however you want it to look. So, yeah, maybe the overdoses in Hunterdon County are lower than in other counties by numbers. But if you're not accounting for population density, then of course they're lower. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. The question at hand that I would raise and pose and ask people to think about is really who is dying from drug overdoses in this county, and not just dying from, but who's suffering? Who's out there living with drug addiction, and how are we as a community coming together to address this concern?
Yeah, there's definitely kind of multiple pieces to that. So there are certain pockets of the population who are really struggling, where we see, you know, our young adults and people under the age of 40 that are really struggling here, where they've been prescribed a opioid for pain,
mm-hmm.
Through their prescriber, through their doctor, from a hospital because of an accident, and easily getting addicted to it. People really think that the opioid epidemic is somebody shooting heroin on the street, but that's really not always the case. What really kind of snowballs out of control, where it starts with a prescription medication. They can't get any more prescribed medication, so then they look to start buying pills on the street, which
right.
could be $50, $80 a pill. But then the effects of that start to run out, and so the next step would be to be utilizing heroin because you're going to get that immediate high that you're still feeling from those prescribed opioids, but it's cheaper and, you know, in essence, easier to get. Right. When that happens, it's very hard to come off of those things. And what we're really seeing in Hunterdon County is not necessarily pure heroin. It's fentanyl.
Right.
And here in Hunterdon County in particular, it's carfentanil, which is pretty much the most lethal that we're seeing right now. People who are overdosing on this are using about 4 Narcans to possibly be revived from it. So it's something that is very serious, and here we are, councilwomen and mayor in the town of Clinton, and in the town of Clinton, it happens a lot because 78 is a corridor for trafficking drugs, and I think we here in Hunterdon County have a beautiful life that we lead in this beautiful county, but we have very easily forget that these things happen on an every day.
Right. And I think one of the key points to make, it's not about your socioeconomic.
No.
Where you are. I mean, it affects everyone. Just as if when you talk about domestic violence or something along those lines,
right.
It does not matter. It's not a low-income individual. This is all walks of life, all age groups that are being impacted by this. And whether it starts with a doctor prescribing pain medication or, you know, kids starting, you know, I've heard stories about pill parties.
Yeah.
Where they all come in and drop pills into a bowl and then pop them. And,
yeah.
And, you know, obviously as a parent of teenage boys, it's something that I've always been concerned about. Something my daughter experienced, you know, going to parties when she was in high school,
mm-hmm.
and watching all of this take place. And there's this feeling of invincibility. Especially with the younger, with the teenagers. It's like, oh, well, nothing is going to happen to me.
Right.
I am invincible. You know, how do we get parents to understand? Number one, what should parents be looking for? You know, obviously, we don't keep anything in our home. You know, anytime we get, at the most I get is an antibiotic, and the minute I'm done using it, it gets recycled right away. We're not keeping anything. But, you know, what should parents be looking for? What should teachers, neighbors, grandparents, aunts, uncles, what are we looking for to make sure that we're understanding what's happening within our own, you know, family's unit?
Sure, absolutely. As Janice said, I think it's important that if there is medication in your home that you keep it locked and don't think that, you know, your kid, it's not going to happen to my kid, because that's really when we put our guard down and a lot of things do happen. And if you do have prescription medication in your home and when you're done with it, get rid of it. We have safe boxes around the county that you can dispense, get rid of the medication safely. Do not flush it. You then pollute our waters too at the same time. So there are safe places to get rid of them. To look for is really change in behavior with your kids. Is, you know, they're sleeping, they're eating, what's happening in school? Have they changed their friend dynamic? Are they isolating? Are they, you know, any different change?
Right.
But I can't emphasize, have conversations. You need to have education in order to understand, and you need to have an open conversation with your kids, with your neighbors, with your family, and it be okay. That said, you know, the dangers of what things can happen. If you get in an unsafe situation, what can you do? Who are your safe people that you can call and go to? You know, kids do make decisions that aren't always the smartest, and that doesn't always necessarily mean they weren't thinking through. I mean, in reality, their brains don't fully develop until the age of 22, between 22 and 25. So they're really not thinking of ultimate consequences. Their brain can't think of that higher level thinking. So it's
right.
Really, they do think they're invincible because their brain doesn't function that way. So it is just continuing to have that open conversation. The Safe Coalition in Hunterdon County has a list of safe homes here in the county. So if you're parents, you can list your home as a safe place where drinking and drugs are not going to happen if there's a party there, and you can do certain things. Don't be the parent that has the party and takes the keys away or anything like that. Kids are a lot smarter than you think they are. A lot of them keep a second pack of keys on them so they can leave. They don't think anything's going to happen to them until it happens.
Right.
So prevention and education is huge. And starting at younger ages, we have to understand that our kids are exposed to a lot more than when we were kids they're exposed to. They have access to everything at their fingertips with the phone and the computer, and they know what to do more than I know what to do half the time. And, you know, I work in the field, and new things come up every day.
Right.
And I think one thing that seems to come up in a lot of conversations I have with parents, and Megan and I both have younger kids, just for everyone's reference, my kid is here listening to this conversation because we have, and, you know, for full disclosure, I talk to my kids about, well, one of my kids is 2.5, so he doesn't talk about anything, but, you know, whatever it is that he wants me to do at any given moment. But the other one, we have very open conversations about all kinds of things, age appropriate, of course. But if you're not willing to have those hard conversations with your children, find somebody who is, because they're going to learn from someone. And if it's not you, then you don't know what they're learning. And so that's the scary part. And that's kind of where I get concerned and why I talk to my children, well, my daughter, so much about these sorts of issues, is that I want her to get the information from me to balance out whatever she hears from her friends or whatever conversations she comes up with from her friends and whatever imaginary stuff they create together. I want her to have some actual facts, you know, real, some truths from her parents, so that that can, you know, at least sprinkle into the conversation and she can, you know, take that with her wherever she goes.
Right. Okay, and with that, we do have to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back to continue the conversation.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Okay, we are back to continue the conversation. So, you know, we've talked about the fact that kids have access not only, you know, to what they have in their parents' house, but the easy access of getting the heroin. Can you tell us a little bit about, because this is almost a permanent addiction. It's like an alcoholic, right? You will always fight this addiction, especially with the heroin.
I mean, I think that is a huge misconception of people, like, decide to use this drug or use any drug in reality.
Right.
Everybody's brain is predisposed to different things. So they always say, you know, if you look in your family, if addiction runs in your family, the likelihood that you will be addicted is the case. And that's true, and that has nothing to do about necessarily personality as it does do with body chemistry. Mm-hmm. So some people could use a drug and never be addicted to it. Other people use it once and it's addicted. But with heroin in particular and opioids in particular, they're working with the opioid receptors in your brain, in essence, so creating that kind of euphoric feeling. And it's very easy to get addicted to this drug. It's not something that you can kind of give and take and decide. And as you do become addicted, the more you need more in order to feel that euphoric feeling, so you continue to go use more and more and more. And so I think that's really a misconception of people deciding that, you know, oh, if I take, you know, OxyContin, nothing's going to happen to me. You could be that person that takes it and, you know, this is a totally different feeling and your body enjoys it.
Well, and I think also oftentimes I'll see in Facebook threads or in chat groups or whatever, people saying, well, we shouldn't help these people because they chose this life. And as someone who, just from my perspective, I think that's just extraordinarily harsh and dismissive of somebody. It's as if you were saying to a person who had diabetes, well, they chose to have diabetes, and so we're not going to help them. And it's very hard for me to understand that line of thinking. Also, why wouldn't we want, as a community, to help our community members be more productive members of society? I mean, I think all of us benefit when people are healthy. And so in my way of thinking, the more healthy we can help people be, the better off we all are. But, you know, that's just...
Well, it's the same thing. Again, I'll go back to the domestic violence. You know, if there's a woman who is in a situation and, you know, she's trying to get out of it or doesn't know how to get out of it, and someone will say, well, you know, why would you stay? There are psychological issues that you deal with.
Right.
You know, obviously it's a control. It is, you know, your whole self-esteem has been broken down. You don't know anything else.
Or economic issues.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to leave because, and it's not so much in the, again, talk about the socioeconomic, right? It's where you see these million-dollar homes and the women know nothing because this is the only life they've known. They've never worked. They may have a college degree, but to go from this to having almost nothing or living paycheck to paycheck is
a
difficult,
it's
you know,
big,
and then
it's a choice. You just don't know what's going on in someone's life unless you're living it. That's,
right.
I guess that's my point.
And that's exactly it. I mean, I've known, you know, one of the committee men from, in Warren County, his son passed away 2 years ago, from a drug overdose down in Florida, you know, and he is an advocate out there constantly. And for him, it's, you know, he wants people to understand that this destroys lives.
Yeah.
Because it's not even just the person who's lost their life, but it's now the family unit that has been destroyed because of it.
Yep.
You know, and for him, talking about it, and, you know, his point is, if he can help another family, then, and it saved someone's life, and that in itself is, you know, important to him. He's lost his son, but, you know, if he can help someone else save their child.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, then at least he can feel a sense of value to what he's experiencing,
right.
I'm sure. But back to kind of the Hunterdon County and sort of, you know, what we're always trying to do here on this show is talk about, at a municipal level, sort of what can our communities do to, one, understand your government, right? Like, what does government do? Which is our basic question, right?
Yes.
But also, what's going on in the county? So can you tell us a little bit, I mean, you kind of already have, but a little bit about sort of what is the sense in the county right now about, like, how is the county right now dealing with the opioid epidemic, and sort of what is your organization's plan sort of moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Currently in the county, we do not have any doctors that are listed as Suboxone prescribers. So that means anybody who's suffering from the opioid epidemic needs to seek out a provider that can help them through using medication to try and get off this very lethal drug. We have no providers here in the county that are doing that currently. If there's an issue with that, using MAT, medical assistant treatment, we are sending patients to other counties. So we're sending them to Somerville or to Phillipsburg. Now, if you're struggling financially and you do not have transportation, as we know is a struggle here in Hunterdon County, how are you getting to those treatment facilities? It's not happening.
So how come, And maybe it's a naive question. Why don't we have any providers in Hunterdon County?
I think it's multiple layers. When there have been providers in the county that have been listed as a prescriber, and they were inundated, so they just couldn't take the load. And again, I think there's also sometimes this idea of we don't really have that big of a problem,
right?
Or you know, to be a that kind of treatment facility, you really need to that be your sole concentration. And I can understand why practitioners wouldn't necessarily want their family practice to turn into that, because it is very intensive and very, you know, needs to be looked at, and people need to be watched while utilizing this medication to make sure it's safe. So there's one piece. So we do not have MAT, medical assistant treatment, in the county at all, which has been a huge struggle. We could get clients come into Hunterdon Drug Awareness, or HDAP as we call it, and we could treat them through therapy, but then we're sending them out and hoping that that piece works. And, you know, it's hard to have a full continuum of care if we can't have that piece here.
Right.
That's one. I think education here in the counties, you know, I think we do a lot, but I think we do need to do more and really come together as a community and have those conversations. We as a at HDAP, I've only been there for almost 2 months. I do have grandiose ideas for the program, and we really want to open it up to have an adolescent intensive outpatient program, as well as continuing to expand our intensive outpatient program and starting to offer MAT at the program. First, in a coalition, we're trying to get an agreement with Somerset Treatment Services to have the prescribers come to us within our facility and have it here, even though they're coming from a different county, just to kind of start that piece that we can offer that. So we're in the midst of working that through
okay.
with Somerset Treatment Services in Somerville. I mean, in other counties, they have mobile MAT kind of vans that go around and, you know, will park at certain places in order to get, you know, have people come to them. And it's really here in Hunterdon County accepting that we have a drug epidemic going on
mm-hmm.
and providing those services to the residents of the community. And here at HDAP, we are also, you know, you do not need insurance. We do not turn people away. We have self-pay. We figure out what we can do for you and meet you where you are. And I think that's huge. We also have no detox or rehabilitation in the county, which is, you know, again, if we have somebody come in and they're active, we can send them to the hospital, and the hospital can then work to try and find them a bed someplace. And we can call the state service, which is called the IME, where you phone call and they find a bed for you. But again, if we find a bed, how are we getting that person, say, to southern New Jersey
right.
in order to get them to
right.
a safe place? So we definitely have huge barriers in order for that. So there's nothing really local either if you're, you know, need rehabilitation or detox. I think right now, like, closest is the Carrier Clinic has some, Summit Oaks has some, but again, it's not anything that's right in our backyard, and then trying to transport somebody there too
right.
is another battle.
So there's multiple pieces that really need to be addressed. So how can, obviously there's a piece that residents can, but what is the state doing?
So with state funding to Hunterdon County is very limited and few and far between. So I think one of the big reasons we don't have a lot of providers here in the county is because there isn't really state funding to assist them. Hunterdon Drug Awareness has been in the county since 1972, so they're already established.
Right.
And there are other, the hospital has treatment as well. There are some other for-profits coming into the county, but again, limited services because they don't have that state funding backing. The state just released a proposal for case management, as I spoke with before. So, we're going to propose to try and get some of that money, and there are other providers in the county are as well. And really, in reality, yes, it's, you know, I would love for HDAP to get it, but I would just like the county to get more assistance in order to reach out to people.
Right.
Because that's really this big piece of the case management is to be in the community and really being hands-on instead of being behind walls and not knowing that things are there or not being able to, reach people.
Right.
What is the do you know what's going on in the schools in terms of the drug awareness programming and sort of particularly at the high school level?
Yep. HDOP runs a prevention program, and so we are in Voorhees and North, as well as Delval and South Hunterdon.
Central.
Central Prevention Resource Services are there, and they also have their own kind of own department that they're utilizing that they've been able to fund for them. I don't know all the particulars about that program, but we are in the schools. We are in some of the middle schools as well.
Okay.
And that is also county funded, so there is grant money. So what we can give is some services, but it's, and certain programs. I think prevention resources as well as HDOP would love more funding for that to really do more and reach more kids that mm-hmm. we can. They're run in particular grades and evidence-based practices utilized for that grade that would be beneficial for those children. But I think, we're always willing to do more.
And who creates the programming? Do you or does the school board?
We create the programming. It's, again, a proposal process through the county.
Mm-hmm.
We write the proposals, and the county grants the funds. We do a lot of program outside of those grants, though, as well. So we do a lot of community programming. If the school would ask us to do some more that's not captured within that program in particular,
mm-hmm.
and we do that without cost as well. So there are a lot of things that do happen that I guess a lot of people don't even
realize
yeah. or not
yeah.
aware.
Yeah, for sure.
Then I guess that's, and we actually have to go to a quick news break and maybe we'll continue the conversation there, but I'm interested in understanding, obviously I've got kids that went through elementary, middle school, now are in high school. High school, you get very little communication
yeah.
from teenagers, but even from the middle school, if there's programs, I don't know that parents are hearing about it from the kids or from the school.
Yeah.
That. So I think, how that will be my question next after we get through our commercial break, our news break, sorry.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Protesters in Hong Kong storming the legislature there today, marking the anniversary of the return to Chinese rule. They used a metal cart, poles, and pieces of scaffolding to repeatedly slam into the building's reinforced glass, which finally broke. The demonstrations continuing to protest a proposed law that would allow people accused of crimes in Hong Kong to be sent to mainland China to be tried. After saying last week it would do so, Iran is confirming it's breached its enriched uranium stockpile limit, violating the 2015 deal it had reached with the United States and other major powers. The Islamic Republic's foreign minister making the announcement today in defiance of a warning from European nations that also signed that agreement that President Trump has since pulled the U.S. out of. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
getting good with the board. Aren't you impressed?
So impressed. You got all of us?
I got all of you.
Woo-hoo.
All of us. So to go back to the question that I had, there's programs in school where, and maybe it's just me that I didn't, you know, there was a disconnect for me, but I'm sure other parents are kind of feeling the same way. Like, oh,
it's definitely not just you.
Yeah. If you're in, how come I don't know about this, or if my school doesn't have it, how do I get it into my school?
Yeah, I think it's probably multi-layered. The programs are in the schools, how they're built into the school is, you know, the school's decision. It could be part of their health program. It could be an elective program, and they're not really, I don't know if the information is full front and center. But I definitely think that's a great suggestion that we can take back to the schools as well and let them know, like, you know, parents and outsiders are asking, like, oh, this program's in the school. I had no idea.
Right.
How can, you know, we let them know more? And I think sometimes people, like we said before, have this idea that, oh, we don't need this kind of program. We don't have that issue. Our programs, though, are just more than just the opioid crisis. It's, you know, health in general. Vaping is really huge. We do an education
yes.
piece around vaping.
Yep.
That is, you know, really important and, you know, is really getting the information out. And presenting it to teenagers and kids, the younger kids, as one of my staff, Patty always says, you know, they're the ones that come up with these like really awesome questions.
Right.
And it's the teenagers that challenge you. And so that's really when like the statistics come in and the science piece come in and really speak to what it is and giving them the facts instead of them kind of trying to like misconstrue the information or that's what you think.
Right.
And back it up with some data.
I have to tell you vaping is better than smoking.
Oh.
It makes my head want to explode.
Yeah, it's just a different. It's a different cigarette. In reality,
right.
It's a different form of nicotine. It's not anything, and it looks cooler. It smells better. It, you know, they have flavors, so
yep.
it's really advertised for young adults. It really is.
Yeah, it's the Marlboro Man of the 21st
Absolutely.
Century.
Absolutely,
absolutely. Like, so it's trying to, you know, again, educate people on what that means and what that is. And I mean, putting it out there, I was a smoker for a long time because when I first started, I thought, you know, it was cool.
I don't know. I tried it once and I got sick.
I didn't really think, again, I was 16, 17 years old. I really didn't think of the long-term effects or what
right.
it's going to do to
right.
me.
Right. It goes
anything.
Back to that whole invincibility and, you know, how does that happen? And so what are... I guess first question is how would parents know if a program is in their school? Where should they go to ask that question?
I mean, I think I would probably reach out to the school in general, and if there's not a program, I would advocate for it. I can't emphasize how conversations and education prevention make
right.
up the biggest piece. And like I said, the programs that we have and our other counterpart in the county runs are all evidence-based. I know that... You know, we hear about, why can't I think of the name of it? The drug-free program when we were kids. DARE.
Yes.
Right.
And the statistics showed that it wasn't really successful. And I think people really have gone out to do their studies and figure out how are we going to get this age group in particular
right.
into it. And it's not, and I think we also have to think about, it shouldn't just be like one, you know, community event that you do a forum for.
Right.
It needs to be a continuous, like, you know, built into curriculums and built into communities that it happens
right.
all the time. And it's not just because if you do, you know, if you have a bunch of kids in an auditorium and you do a talk and there's 200 kids in there.
Right.
The one, they're like totally psyched that they're out of class.
They're not really listening.
Right. They might have to catch up on homework or they had a test and they're going to try and get some extra work in there. Or, you know,
they're all sitting there on their phones texting each other
right.
about how much they hate your shirt or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
It
yeah. So it's really trying to get into that. And so it needs to be a continuous program and not
right.
just kind of drop-ins here and there.
Right. Well, and
yeah.
that goes to the whole thing. How do you change your behavior? You have to hear something
yeah.
so many times.
Exactly.
You actually have to do it for 28 days or whatever that
whatever the
is.
Magic number is. But the other thing we sort of were chatting about during our commercial break is – you know, I think that the education piece has to go to parents as well, because, you know, and I know I sound like I'm on a soapbox, but I myself need the education.
Right.
Of
Agreed.
These are not things that I dealt with as a child. These are totally different drugs and behaviors and issues that didn't happen. Or maybe I was just super boring as a kid. I don't know. It's possible.
I know I was super boring.
But, none of this stuff happened. I mean,
yeah. Well, you also didn't have access, immediate access to people.
People drank. People smoked. Maybe somebody had pot.
And if you knew about a party.
Nobody was shooting heroin in the bathroom when I was a kid.
Or going to pill parties.
Or, none of that stuff was happening.
Yeah, it's very much evolved in the sense, and it's gotten much more dangerous than what you
exactly.
say that we were kids.
And more accessible.
And definitely more accessible. Because you could text message somebody and meet them. You
exactly.
can go on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat and meet somebody instantly and go, you know, to Wawa.
And there's codes, so you don't even necessarily
Absolutely.
Know what's happening so that the parents looking at the phone.
Exactly. It doesn't even have to be somebody they know.
No.
Right?
No.
So that's the reason. So I hope anyone who's actually listening to us doesn't think I'm trying to say, like, I know so much more. I think parents need the education because this is not how we grew up.
Right.
We didn't grow up in this environment. Even if you're a 20-year-old parent, you didn't grow up in this environment because things have changed so much in the last 10 years.
And they're changing so quickly that even people like myself or others that are in the field is constantly trying to keep up with what's happening and how things are evolving.
Right.
I always have to say that my girls are, you know, in for it because your mom's in the field, and I know, and I've worked with adolescents most of my career. So
they're not going to do anything.
No.
They're not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah, they're going to, you know, but again, it's walking that fine line of being a person that it's safe for them to have a conversation with if they do make a bad decision, but able to have education and, you know, talk, because I think, you know, you don't want to disappoint your parents, but if you make a bad decision, your child still needs to be loved and work through it.
And I think
the hard nose of you did this wrong and the punishment happened is really a really hard line to follow because you don't want to push them away. And especially as a teenager where I think we all know, I know my mom would I would be in my room for hours upon end and come out to eat and then return to my room.
I'm experiencing that now.
Yeah. So, and it's nothing against the parent. It's just adolescence, and it's a weird,
right.
difficult
parents
time.
Aren't cool to hang out with or anything like that. To go back to the conversation about, you know, parents being educated.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if you guys were on council when we had the prosecutor's office come in and do a presentation, and then they showed a video that they had done. I mean,
I remember the presentation. We were not yet on council.
Oh, we weren't on council yet, yes.
You know, and I think what really amazed me is the fact that the kids are communicating with code.
Oh, yeah.
How do we, as parents, learn the code? Or can we learn the code?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what do you, I mean, I look at my son's phones, obviously. They both have to turn them in, and I look through their Snapchat or Instagram accounts, but I don't know. I'm like, well, what does this mean? Or what does this mean? And they're telling me. I don't know if they're telling me the truth or not. So how do I, as a parent, learn that? Or can I learn that?
Oh, you definitely can.
I mean,
Google is a wonderful tool. You can Google, and they have, the codes that they use for certain things.
So that's good to know.
If you, because there's a lot of acronyms that they use, you would never know what that means.
Yeah.
But, one means, parents standing, reading this so they know that the person exchanged knows to change the conversation if with their text. But again, those are always evolving as well.
Right.
And it's just trying to stay in the know.
And I'm overwhelmed already now.
As much as you educate yourself, those things change. They're always a step ahead. So I can't emphasize continuing to build a relationship and have an open conversation with your kids. And let them know, I'm checking this because I want you to be safe. And it's nothing against you or your friends or what's happening. Because if you come too hard-nosed down, I mean, back in the day, if you had a diary and you hid it in your room and you found your mom reading it or something, they broke your trust. So you don't want to be breaking
it's that balance.
Trust. It's
breaking
their trust because they want to be able to trust you and you want them to go to you when they make a bad decision.
Right.
So they want you to be safe. You don't want to have your kid go to a party and, you know, you know, get into the situation where they drank and then get into a car
right.
and, you know, make
yeah.
that decision, you want to say, I made a really bad decision. Can you come get me?
Right.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that my parents actually did right was always say, you know, listen, we know you're going to make some bad choices. You're a teenager. You can always, you get like a quote, get out of jail free card.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like,
call us and we'll be there.
We will come and get you.
Right.
And,
yeah, and, I
and
think,
there'll be no questions.
Right.
And the, I mean, the no questions was a lie. There's always questions.
Right. Absolutely.
But you know,
but you
the
were there.
The consequences weren't
dire.
So dire that I didn't ever call.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be in my room for the rest of my life and lose my car and
right.
whatever other.
Right.
I don't know. We didn't have anything
and
back then.
And you have to understand, with little kids especially, if you take tougher consequence, they don't understand why then that consequence, if you take something away for like 5 days, they don't understand on the fifth day why
yeah.
it's still taken away. It just, brain-wise, it doesn't attach.
Right.
And you have to understand, when you take something so important away from them, that's their life, you've literally destroyed their world, even if in your reality, like, it's not that big of a deal. In
right.
our reality, it's not that big a deal. But in their world, it's the end.
Oh,
so
absolutely. You're taking that phone away?
It's got to be in, you know, to work in
it's
being relative to them.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I also find, you know, one thing I found helpful, I think, is being honest about my own mistakes and allowing the kids to see that I have made mistakes and that it's okay.
Right.
And
oh,
that
absolutely.
I'm still standing, and that, you know, you can make mistakes, and you can do the wrong thing, and that's, you know, that's a part of life, and that,
yes.
you know, one will survive those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So
we have to go to another commercial break. We've talked a lot about kids and the schools. When we come back, maybe that our last 15 minutes, we talk about adults who are experiencing
yeah.
some of these
yeah,
issues and how do we address it. So we're going to go on to our next commercial break.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Right, we are back for our final 15 minutes. And, you know, talking about, so obviously we've talked a lot about students and schools and what parents and family members' role, but for the adults that have experienced that are, you know, whether it started because they had, you know, pain medication and got addicted, or they've got their own issues. What are some where are places they can go? What's offered for them?
I think that in the county here, I think that's, you know, a shortcoming for the county. We do a lot of community stuff. Prevention Resources out there doing community stuff, but it's that continuous enrollment. We do have open groups at our facility for people for education and prevention, as well for adults as mm-hmm. well. And it's really, you know, having that conversation. I think with this new grant that's going to be allowed to the county, that case management piece being out into the community is going to be really great to really warm touch people, because I don't really think that's happening. I think, you know, for an adult, it's hard because you get in the situation, which then you start, you know, if you're married and have children, that's one piece. There's also, you know, the financial piece and employment and everything. Mm-hmm. And because there's such a stigma, it's scary to go to somebody for help.
Right.
I mean, the county social services, you know, has services as well. But again, it's how well known are they, and are people really, how many people are really going to access them?
Well, that goes back to the stigma attached to it, right? If you ask for that kind of assistance, that, you know, then someone is going to know. My neighbor's going to know. You know, my kids' parent friends are going to know.
Right.
So there's that hard part. We need to destigmatize.
Absolutely. I mean, but that's more of a global
issue. It is. But everything starts within our own communities,
absolutely.
Right? So whatever we can do.
Well, what I was just going to say is what could if a municipality was willing and interested, what could a municipality do to help? I mean, is there a value to doing drug awareness days? Is there
And isn't all the end of August? I thought August 30th or August 31st was National Drug Awareness Day.
Yeah, so for 100 and Drug Awareness, we are having a community day here August 29th, I believe. Mm-hmm. We do have a coalition within that is doing an art show here in the park to recognize addiction. It's called Windows of Addiction, and so there will be art pieces around. There will also be Narcan education and training if people would want to partake in that. There will be tables for education as well and conversations. So I think those are very important within the community. I encourage the councils of Hunter and County to, you know, have people come and speak at their council meetings, have town halls, have discussions, and be open to having those discussions, because the more open and that we talk about it, the better that we are. You can't help that person in hiding if you're not, you know, out there with open arms saying, you know, we're here to help you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think also we do have the program with the police department that if, you know, within the county, that if you are picked up, you know, they're going to help, and you are asked if you want to receive treatment, they're going to help you access that treatment. So, you know, it is, again, knowing that these services are here, because I don't know if everybody is aware of that.
I don't think they are.
And I hope people don't think that I'm just giving people a pass of you're not going to be punished, because it does get to a point where there are some serious consequences.
Right.
But we have to understand that this is a disease.
Yes.
And that with this disease comes behaviors that are not safe.
Yeah.
And, with that, how can we make it safe for that person as well as the community? Because it does affect all of us if there's a car accident or something happens out.
Yep, right.
And, you know, working within the population, you have to understand these people. You know, people are remorseful. They don't, you know.
I don't think people – I can't imagine anyone chooses this is what – where the path they want their life.
This is where I want my life to go.
No one wakes up in the morning and goes, I want to be a drug addict.
Right.
No one. Like, that's not a choice.
No, and then becomes this physical barrier that they're fighting with their body.
Exactly.
Constantly.
Yeah. Consciously, I don't want to do this anymore, but physically, I'm going to be sick if I don't.
Right.
So what is my step? And, you know, and people don't also realize with alcohol, I mean, we've talked a lot about opioids, but alcohol is super easy, accessible.
Absolutely.
It's pretty legal. much legal and it's pretty much in everybody's home.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that's the drug, if you're detoxing off of, that you can die from. That one, you know,
yes.
You can't make that decision on your own to detox from alcohol.
Right.
You will die.
Yes.
I think people are often shocked by that because they're like, well, I can just go downtown and, you know, grab a bottle.
Right.
And that addiction as well is awful and, you know, to the body as well.
That's a socially acceptable. And I think that's a little bit of the difference because drinking is socially acceptable. So, you know, and who knows, you're the life of the party, you have a lot of fun, the extra drinks, it's the need to have it every single day and to drink to the point of, in some cases, oblivion. In other cases, it's just for that buzz.
Right. And I wonder, you know, the question really being philosophy, you know, wise, is it socially acceptable because it's been around for so long?
Could be.
Is that the reason? It could go either way. I mean, you could be that very abusive, aggressive, violent alcoholic, which is
exactly.
not okay either.
Right.
You know, so I think
not okay and not particularly uncommon.
No.
Right. No, unfortunately, and yeah. many of us know that.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and I think because the opioid epidemic in particular is quote unquote newer than, you know, alcoholism, it's really, you know, being personally exposed to it and seeing the effects.
Right.
And I don't know if it's has touched everybody yet. I know it's touched a lot of people. So it's really, you know, seeing what it can do to somebody and how it can destroy their life very quickly.
Right. No, absolutely. That's the, you know, that's the part about it that unless it impacts you personally in some ways, it's hard to understand.
Yeah. And even when it does, I think it's hard for people to understand. It's, you know, the impact of addiction on family units, on extended family units, on generations is to someone who's not experienced it, I think,
right.
is hard to fathom. And so for people who haven't experienced it, it's easy to dismiss as that's a choice. I'm not helping them.
Right.
Why should I help that person,
yeah.
those people?
Yes.
And for people who've been in it and experienced it, then there's a whole host of issues. And I'm sure, Megan, you could talk about this for days, the ramifications to a person who's grown up around it, to a person who's experienced it, to a person who's now sober, who's in addiction. You know, like the wealth of consequences to a person's emotional well-being, physical well-being, are kind of unending. And so I think, you know, if we can all sort of bear that in mind and have a little grace in the process,
yes,
I think we would be in a much better position and we'd be much better off helping and sharing resources and helping people who are in this sort of struggle for sobriety.
Yeah, I think grace is really a good way to put it. And I always, you know, I always go back of, you know, who are you to judge?
Right,
you
have not walked in their shoes.
You have no idea what has happened to that person.
Right.
And if anything, if that person is asking for help,
don't push them away.
Why are we not going to give it?
Right.
I, for me, that's, and maybe that's why I'm a social worker. for me, I'm always looking, you know, to help somebody else and give what I can give to them in order to get them a place.
Absolutely.
I mean, I do not by no means have all the answers. But I want to get a person to a place where they can have support and, you know, be able to live a successful life.
Right.
Yeah.
So with that, we have, you know, another minute. You want to talk about your event again on the 29th?
Yeah. So on
the
29th, we'll be here in Flemington, I believe from 2 to 7. And it will be an addiction art show, a really cool Windows of Addiction. One of my staff, Mary, is really pulling things together. Really exciting event. It's really just exposing what it really looks like to be part of the addiction community.
Right.
So that's really great. We also have a 5K run in September 21st, I believe it is.
We're going to do it as the town of Clinton.
It's Dan the Man 5K. It's Deer Path, Deer Path Park. When Janice likes to sign up the council to do things, so we will be there. It is in memory of one of our graduates who lost his life to addiction, and it does fundraise for our program as giving scholarships to people to be able who cannot pay to attend our program. And HDOP's here in Flemington on Main Street, 100 and Drug Awareness Program. So please, if you need help, please do not hesitate to call or stop in. We are there pretty much till 9 o'clock every night. We want to be able to help you through your struggle if that's what you have.
Well, Megan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, and thank you.
I think this was a great conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was really exciting.
And as always, reach out to us with questions, or if you want to get in touch with Megan, we will definitely put you in touch with, you want to put out your email real quick?
Sure. It's mjohnson@hdap.org.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you all next week.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Officers at one of the busiest southern U.S. border crossings dealing with an angry mob just hours ago. U.S. border agents in Texas say the unruly group of people from El Salvador and Cuba were rushing the port of entry at the border in El Paso. Reports are the agents had to fire tear gas to get the mob to back off. The port of entry has since reopened. A report in the New York Times claims the White House is considering a deal where North Korea would stop production of new nuclear material in an effort to jumpstart negotiations on denuclearization. The National Security Advisor John Bolton denies the report. Retired Army General Stanley McChrystal says when it comes to North Korea, the U.S. probably should lower its expectations.
If we can maintain stability, I think that's about as good as we get.
And this is USA Radio News.
This is Dr. Howard, founder and formulator of Balance of Nature. We're changing America one life at a time.
I wish they would have me do a commercial. I'm from the New York area, and we don't trust anybody. And I need to tell you, I certainly didn't trust you guys at first. After all, you're like out of Utah. I was like, what is in Utah, really? Then I heard some little old man saying, and I was so, you know, when you're in pain, you will try anything. And I said, let me try it. But I need to tell you that I'm jogging now. I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that again.
Through Memorial Day weekend, you can receive a $20 discount and free shipping on any first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Again, this special radio offer will only be available through May 27th. Call 1-800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Wall Street gets a chance to react on Monday after the U.S. and China put their trade war on hold. Economic advisor Larry Kudlow tells CBS's Face the Nation that President Trump is hopeful about negotiations with Beijing.
He said, no additional tariffs for now. So he's going good faith to see how these talks go, to see if China delivers on an early agriculture promise. Let's call it an early harvest. But that may be up for grabs. We will see. No one can predict with certainty.
Election security is the focus of the latest Democratic Weekly Address. Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren of California spoke of election security and the need to pass the SAFE Act.
We call upon Leader Mitch McConnell and the Senate to join with House Democrats and pass these essential bipartisan bills. Together, we can and must defend our national security.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Motorists in three states are quickly running out of time to fill their tanks before gasoline tax increases on July 1st. John Clemens reports.
The states claim they need the additional revenue to repair roads and for mass transit programs. Motorists are filling their tanks now before the increases go into effect July 1st. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us there's going to be pain at the pump.
Illinois is raising its state tax 19 cents per gallon. Gas prices there will jump. Ohio is raising their tax 10.5%.